We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. I'd just like to share some practical thoughts from this Psalm 37 that have encouraged me in my daily walk. And it was in this past year that there was a particular trial that I had to go through, and it was a very hard trial for me to go through. And it was something that left me feeling weak and helpless, and it really was affecting every part of my life. And it lasted several weeks, but it was just something I needed to go through. And the Lord brought before me a few verses from this psalm. And it was an immediate help for me, and it was just a real answer to prayer. And as the days went on, during that time, and the trial seemed to keep getting harder, I was able to just keep on looking into the psalm, and in just a real way, it really was a daily comfort to me. So that's why I want to share it. It didn't just teach me how to respond to my present circumstances, because it did, but it also just let me kind of step back from the circumstances and just realize that the Lord was at work, and that he was in full control of everything that was going on. And you know, those few weeks for me, in a certain way, were some of the hardest weeks that I've experienced. But as much as I hope I don't have to go through something like that again, it's something I wouldn't want to trade for anything, because it brought me closer to the Lord, and it's caused this part of his word to be very special to me. So before we start, I'd just like to say a few words just about the psalm. It's generally accepted that it was written by David. It seems to be generally accepted anyway. We'll take that to be the case. And it was written when he was old. We'll see in verse 25 that it was when he was old and able to look back, like through a lifetime of experience, and give some really good practical words for what we're to do when the evildoers prosper and the righteous suffer. And the psalm really, it's about waiting on the Lord and not being overcome by the circumstances around us. And the encouragement that we would find is that really throughout our life, there will be lots of trials that we'll need to go through, but the Lord takes care of his people. And that's just what I would like to appreciate from the psalm. And I think it's probably good to mention that the psalm does have a particular Jewish significance, as you can see with there's many references about inheriting the land. And we know that blessings for the Jew would be connected with the earth in that way, and wealth and prosperity, like material wealth, would be a sign of blessing from God. And I just wouldn't want to suggest that is what we would be looking for, but our blessings would be spiritual and heavenly in character. So I just kind of want to clear that up before I go through it. I just want to really just focus on the fact that the Lord takes care of his people. And so, you know, having said that, I do think that the psalm can be applied to believers from every age, and I think that we can apply it to ourselves definitely in the present day. And I don't want to look at the psalm in all its detail, but rather just look at some things that we find about the Lord's faithfulness, and just what he does for us when we're going through times of trouble. And he's there for us, definitely. Now, being that this is one of the alphabetical psalms, I found dividing it into concrete sections was kind of a little bit tough, and this is just an outline that I'm suggesting just for what we're going through today. I wouldn't call them proper divisions for the psalm itself, but just so we can go through it in an orderly way, I've made some divisions, so I'll tell you what they are. There's two main sections, so verse 1 to 11 would be the first section, and we'd be looking from within the circumstances, and then from 12 to 40 we're looking from outside the circumstances. So the first section, there'd be practical help for ourselves, and like we can learn what we're to do when the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. And within that section, there's a couple things that I think we'll find for ourselves. And that, so in verse 1 and 2, along with 9 to 11, we can get a new perspective from what we find in these verses. And then sandwiched in the middle there, 3 to 8, we can get a new focus. So I hope I'll make those things, make that point clear. But so then 12 to 40, the next section, is I'd just like to find some encouragement for ourselves and just see what the Lord does when the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, and just really appreciate his faithfulness to his people. So 12 to 15 kind of sets the scene for this whole section as we're going to look at it. And the Lord is unmoved by circumstances. And then in 16 to 26, the Lord upholds his people. 27 to 33, the Lord preserves his people. 34 to 38, the Lord exalts his people. And then 39 to 40, the Lord saves his people. So we'll start at verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." So don't allow yourself to become heated because of evildoers. And definitely don't envy them. It says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And in Psalm 73, the psalmist is dealing with kind of the same types of problems, very similar to what we find here. And he says, "I was envious at the foolish. They seem to have peace and prosperity and don't seem to have the troubles that everybody else does." And he's thinking that his life of faith has been in vain. And it seems like he's near the point of giving up. And he says, "The thought of how to understand all this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." And that's kind of what we find in verse 2, is that we really get a new perspective when we realize that these things that we're going through that seem like they're going to last forever, they're not. And it's so short-lived, the prosperity of the wicked. So that we can really just, I think, take comfort from that word soon, that it's soon going to end, these things. And that helped me lots. But, and then, so verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." So we're to confide in the Lord. So that's, by putting our confidence in him, even in trials, immediately, like, we will find just a sense of safety and security, just knowing. So right away, first thing, go to the Lord. And in this verse, the second part of the verse, it could also be translated, "dwell in the land and feed on faithfulness." But either way, we're focusing on the Lord's faithfulness and not our circumstances. And when we do this, we'll be kept safe, like as we can see, by dwelling in the land, and we'll be sustained, like it says in the verse, being fed. And if we trust him, then the Lord will supply us with everything we need. And we're to delight ourselves also in the Lord. It says, "And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And not only do we need to trust him, but we need to delight in him. And I've found that in times of trouble like this, it can be hard to delight in anything. But I found it as an encouragement for myself, just instead of getting down and you know, feeling sorry for myself, just to keep reading and just keep enjoying just how great the Lord is. And enjoying him and not dwelling on circumstances. And it says he'll not only give us what we need, but he'll give us what our heart desires. And it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And that, to commit it to him, literally is to roll it on to the Lord. So just take the burden and just roll it on to him. So all that uneasiness and stress that we deal with, and just the worrying about not knowing about what the future holds, just give it to the Lord. And it sounds like an easy thing to do, but I've found it's not. Like, it's easy because he'll just take it, but it's, you know, you can't just say the words. I think it does take an exercise to actually just leave it with him. And then once you've left it there, it's his, and you don't need to carry it anymore. But it's something that I really appreciate it, is that thought that you can just roll it onto him. The Lord's just, he's glad to take it, that burden. Like Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And I've found it a natural reaction for myself that when someone is, you know, trying to make you look bad and they're dragging your name through the mud, it's just a natural thing to want to vindicate yourself. And there will be vindication for the Lord's people, always, but it's going to be the Lord who does it. And it might not be immediate as we want it to be, but it will happen in the Lord's time. Yeah, and it will be unmistakable, and it'll be clearly seen when it does happen. Now we're told to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Okay. So literally, like, to rest is to be still or to be silent. It's just be still and know that I am God. That is what we're supposed to do. And personally, I found this the hardest in this list of things to do is just to be silent and know that God is working and in control. But he is, and he deals with these things in his time. And it says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And it also could be said, like, fret not, it would only be to do evil, or it only causes harm. So we don't allow ourselves to get heated. So it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And that I appreciated this. Just if there's one word that you wouldn't expect to find when we're dealing with circumstances like this, it's peace. But that's what we're told that the meek ones will enjoy, is peace. And not just peace, but the abundance of it. And that was a help to me. We'll move into the next section, just look at a few things. And up until this point, we've been right in the midst of the conflict, but now we're able to kind of get a new perspective and almost move like far, far above everything. And I know it doesn't say it here, but to me, it's a reminder that God's on the throne when we look at it from this way. And when we look at from where he's looking from on the throne instead of our circumstances, all of a sudden, really, our problems don't seem as big. So in verse 12, it says, the wicked plotteth against the just. And we almost get a look behind the scenes, it seems, to see what the adversary's up to. And he's up to no good. And he's planning evil against us. And if you've experienced this, when people are planning evil against you like this, it can be enough just to make you cringe, you know, you'll lose sleep, and it could affect your health and so many other things. Just fear, what it does to people is you just see how fragile people are. But we just look, like, what's the Lord's response? In verse 13, it says, the Lord shall laugh. And could you imagine telling maybe a friend of the evil that's been planned against you and having them laugh? But it's so much different when the Lord laughs. He knows the future, and he just understands things like we don't. And he knows that the evil that's been planned against you, it just can't even be taken seriously. So, like, even though we're shaken by circumstances, and we really do get shaken, the Lord isn't. And I found it encouraging to remember that he's on the throne, and these things don't move him. As is, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. And by opposing the Lord's people, really, the evildoers only bring judgment upon themselves. So when we're facing opposition, and people are planning evil against us, whatever the case is, I would say we can be encouraged that God remains on the throne. Even though we can appreciate that maybe we've come to the point where we've understand that this is just something we need to go through, a certain trial for a certain reason. We can still say, like, how am I going to make it through this? And I found myself saying that. Like, I don't think I can go through this. But just one point I'd like to appreciate, just that the Lord upholds his people. So it says in verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And in contrast to the wicked, who trust in their own riches and their own strength, which will eventually fail, we have the Lord to rely upon, and he's able to sustain his people forever. It says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And it's a nice thought to think that the Lord actually knows every day of our life, and he knows what each day will hold for us. He knows about the trouble we face. He knows about all of our failures. He knows everything. But it's because he is the one who sustains us that we can look forward to an inheritance that is secure and that is eternal. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 that we're not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. It says in verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. And even in times of famine, the Lord's people are taken care of. And just how different for the wicked. They'll just disappear like they were never there. It says, the wicked boroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. You know, the wicked, they're concerned with here and now, but we're encouraged to focus on what is so far beyond this, just what is eternal. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, in verse 23, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And it's always a good thing to hear believers testify of the Lord's faithfulness. And I really appreciate it when it's coming from older believers. Because along with, like, wisdom, like a wealth of wisdom from a lifetime of experience that older believers have, that younger believers just don't, they've also seen time and time again of how the Lord sustains his people. And their life itself really bears witness to the fact that the Lord does sustain his people. And it's one thing that I appreciate. Of all the evidences of God's faithfulness that I see around me, I'd say that the godly testimony of older Christians would be right at the top of my list. And it says he is ever merciful, in verse 26, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. And in contrast to the wicked, who are in the position of borrowing, the righteous have more than enough. And really, the writer is able to look back over his whole life and testify how faithfully the Lord sustains his people. And it's good for us to be able to look back and just appreciate the grace of God in our lives, and not only physically, but spiritually, I'd say especially, and know that he is the one who has sustained us through these times, and that he always will sustain us. And you know, another thing that I found myself asking is, like, how am I going to protect myself? Because it's sometimes you just feel when someone's opposing you so much, you figure you need to do something back to defend yourself. But just another thing I'd like to appreciate is that the Lord preserves his people. And so verse 27 says, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. And that word preserved, I think it could also be like protected, or they are hedged about with a hedge of protection. And it's the Lord who protects us in times like this. And in verse 8, we were reminded not to fret or to get heated, and that it would only cause harm, but instead we're to turn from evil and to do good. So when we're treated so wrongly, how can we do good? I found that kind of a tough thing too. Like, How can we do this? And I think the answer is in verse 3. It said, trust in the Lord and do good. And really, I think the answer for fretting is faith. It's faith in the Lord. And the fruit of faith will be good works. So that, I think that's how we do good, by trusting in Him first. It says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. And again, I'd just like to mention that we're reminded that we're in it for the long run. The Lord's in it for the long run, and so are we. And in verse 27, it says, dwell forevermore. 28, they are preserved forever. 29, dwell therein forever. So it's just another thing that helped me to get a better perspective on things. Verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. And I think the reality of verse 30, what's coming out of the mouth of the righteous is the result of verse 31, what's in his heart, the law of his God. And the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And I believe that the reality of verse 32 is the result of verse 30. So the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. And there was never was that seen more than when the Lord Jesus was on earth. And because of the words that he spoke so many times, the wicked seek to slay him. But it says, the Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. And though the wicked may have their eye upon us for evil, it's good to know that the Lord's got our back. And it's just encouraging to know that even in real bad circumstances, that he will never forsake us and he'll always protect us. So it's just another thing I appreciated. And you know, even when we can appreciate that the Lord will sustain us and that he will protect us, I found another thing hard for me is just saying, you know, I'm tired of being put down. I'm tired of being humbled like this. And I want to lift myself up. I just found it's a natural thing to do. But just the last point here is just that the Lord exalts his people. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Even though it's so natural to do that, it's not what we're supposed to do. Instead, we're told to wait on the Lord, not just to sit around and do nothing, but we're told to wait and keep his way. And we're reminded in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Lord is the one who vindicates his people. And it's, as much as it is a very natural human thing, something that I have struggled with, it's you got to wait for the Lord, because he does always vindicate his people. It says in verse 35, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And the wicked is pictured here like a tree growing in its native soil, is when I look at it, or like one of the towering cedars of Lebanon in all its strength and prosperity. And it just seems like it'll be there forever. But in the end, it's like it was never even there. And how different for the righteous who's been lifted up, and his future and his inheritance are forever. It's just so different what the Lord's people have to look forward to. And verse 37 says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And there's that word again, peace. And that is the future of the one who is here called the perfect man, or the upright. And it's just, look how different it is. For the righteous, it's peace. And then the end for the wicked is destruction. I found, again, that it's just such an encouragement to wait on the Lord. And I know that in verse 37, that in the context that it's the one who it says, mark the perfect man, the one who we're looking at is the one who, the righteous, who we've been looking through the psalm all the way through. But just when I read it as it is, I just can't help but see the Lord Jesus. And that was just something else that I appreciated, and I think it's okay that we do that. Because really, when we're going through any type of trial, that's where we need to look, is Him. And there's that chorus of that hymn that I sing to myself a lot during the day. You know, it goes, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim." In the light of His glory and grace. And it's true. There's just so much truth to that. And just when we look at the Lord Jesus as He suffered, as a man in this world, there's lots that we can appreciate. And there's no one who suffered like He suffered. And there's no one who pleased God like He did in the way that He suffered while He was here on earth. And I found it very encouraging just to think about Him in this way. And you know, like, we've thought about the times when we were just looking down the straightaway of a trial, like maybe we know that there's something that we need to go through ahead of us. And we just say, how can I go through it? How can I endure it? And we're reminded in Hebrews, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And again, when we think of those times where we feel the need to defend ourselves, even though we know we shouldn't, we remember in 1 Peter it says, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." And even those times when we think that we've had enough of being put down and we've gone low enough and it's time that we lift ourselves up, I just would want to read part of Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, taking His place in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name." And I'm just so thankful for Him. And I'm thankful too for Psalm 37, because it's a part of God's Word that can be easily read, and there's just so much practical help that we can find for ourselves. Maybe something's taken a little bit out of context, but I just think there's so much help there, so much good help for us, and just encouragement. Just that no matter what we go through, that the Lord will remain faithful through it all. And just in these final verses, we're just reminded that no matter what the circumstances, is that all we need to do is go to Him. That's all we need to do. And He is and He ever will be the only refuge for us, His people. So to close, I'd just like to leave you with the reading of these couple verses. Verse 39 says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him." So may the Lord help us to trust Him. Let's pray.